This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, September 27th.
Let's go. You guys ready?
Get ready for the
real water.
This meeting is called to order at 4:48 p.m. Will the clerk please call the roll? Yes. Here.
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 Unexcused.
Here.
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 Okay, at this point in the meeting, Executive Vice President C.J. Slickland will conduct open microphone.
At this time in the meeting, we'd like to welcome anyone who would like to address the Student Assembly on an issue that is not on the agenda to come forward, state your name and year, and we can address your concerns. All right, thank you.
Okay, the next order of business is the oath of office for our new members. The three new freshman representatives and the new transfer representatives, that can stand up. You all should have the oath of office sheet in front of you. Sure, not that one. Okay, just raise your right hand in the air and repeat after me. In view of the trust, the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor. I, state your name.
I, Kate.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
To fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative.
Fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
In a process where I am guided by truth and fairness.
In a process where I am guided by truth and fairness.
I will never purposely misrepresent facts.
I will never purposely misrepresent facts.
In an effort to achieve my goals.
In an effort to achieve my goals.
If a conflict of interest arises.
If a conflict of interest arises.
I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process.
I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process.
I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body.
I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body.
Address the issues of my fellow students.
Address the issues of my fellow students.
And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students.
And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students.
Congratulations. Okay, and we're now going to move on to approval of the minutes. You also have minutes from the September 6th meeting in your packet. Are there any motions? It's been a motion for acclamation. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? The minutes are approved. Moving on to announcements and reports. I'd like to officially welcome the new freshman and transfer representatives. New freshman representatives are Asa Craig, Rebecca Smith, and Samantha Dong. And we'd like to welcome the new transfer representative, Rebecca Stein. Congratulations on winning your elections, and we're very much looking forward to working with you over the coming year. The next announcement is a GPSA update from Representative Rami Salem.
Before I make my update, I just wanted to announce that there was an article in the Daily Sun today that said that Cornell students out of 50 schools ranked dead last in their civic knowledge. So, make them honest. But as for the GPSA update, we talked about the West Campus Initiative timeline. There are 200 undergrads currently graduating, and they will be done by next year. I also had the pleasure of sitting in on David Lee's TCAS presentation again, which gets better every time I see it. There are also proposed revisions to extend the code of conduct to off campus for graduate students. There's going to be an open forum Tuesday at 2nd in 4:00. And also Kim Sada, who works with OCHA, which is on the Consignment Office. Gave a brief overview of the company, what is the company.
Any questions for Rami? Okay, seeing no questions, we're going to move on to the next announcement. The University Assembly update from Representatives Chris Basil and Steve Matthews.
All right, you had met yesterday and talked about a couple of things. We also were fortunate to see the transportation and what the community here But two things particularly that I'll add to this. First, they had a report from campus planning,
questions? Representative Salem.
Just have a quick question for you. For the campus code of conduct, is there an update on that as to where they're at right now in terms of the university assembly?
It's updated. The whole document is 40 pages long. It's updated. I come through. They had a summary page outlining the major changes. I read through that and read the document.
Sure. Do you happen just to know, and my bad that I haven't read this, but do you happen to know if they changed the standard of evidence? Because there was a proposal to change it to preponderance versus convincing. Do you happen to know if the newly proposed campus code revision still kept that change or just get rid of that change? They didn't use the word preponderance. They may have made a change to something to that effect. I'll just look back through the I'm not sure.
Any other questions? Okay, the next announcement is an essay retreat announcement from Vice President Lau.
Hold on, there's a question. I know Kate Duke here should probably also talk a little about this. I think you're talking about the Krauss report, which I believe was voted down. But do you want to speak on that for that?
We're just going to move on in the interest of a packed agenda. Next announcement is an essay retreat announcement from Vice President Ladin.
Also, I know we're going to move on, but our liaisons to the CJC are giving a presentation next week. So also that other things should be said. This Saturday, for all student assembly members, voting and non-voting, our retreat, our fall orientation is this Saturday, 11 a.m., Golden Smith, 142. We'll meet. Weather permits, we'll do some stuff outside in the Arts Quad. We'll have lunch. We'll have a great time. It should be no longer than 3 hours, no longer than 2 p.m., hopefully earlier. Please contact me if you cannot attend.
Any questions for Ryan? Okay, seeing no questions, the next announcement is the dining committee update from Representative Coombs.
All right, yeah, the dining committee was met for the first time this semester on Tuesday, and the meetings, logistically speaking, are largely the same plans here. Hughes Dining, done by Meyer and Taylor by the law school. They'll be every other Tuesday, and we're gonna start that cycle the weekend of fall break. So the October 16th is the next meeting. As far as big changes, Representative Geary is a vice chair this year, and Colleen Wright Reba, the director of dining, is actually leaving Cornell. She's going to become operator at the University of Maryland, so we're going to be having some changes there with who we work with. The meeting got out of the meeting, and it's definitely a good first meeting. Vice President Lambert is coming by, and we set logistics to talk about what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the semester. Big news is you should be seeing more nutrition facts for food, both on food itself and online. That should be good to go within the next couple months at the very latest. And that's basically, I know we have a package in it, so I'll basically stop there and update you continually as the semester goes on if there are any questions.
Any questions for Mark? Okay, seeing no questions, we're going to move on to an SASC update from Representative Lessig.
Just really quickly, I want to let you guys know how the allocations went. This year, the club sports were capped at $5,750. Single groups were capped at $8,500. And organized budgets were capped at $9,000. Unlike most years, this year there were no percentage cuts whatsoever. And that results from, I guess, fewer applicants and about 8.4% zero fund rate this year, which is a little bit more than usual. Appeal hearings are this weekend, Saturday, and the 18th of October. The appeals will be here before the event.
Any idea how many appeals we can be expecting this year?
Not yet.
Any questions for Representative Lessig? Okay, seeing no other questions, I'll move on to a ruckus update. So over the last couple of weeks, CJ and I have been in contact with Dean of Students Cam Hubble and Bob Bordeaux from CIT. Ruckus is a free music downloading service, not unlike Napster. Our Napster subscription expires, so we're moving on to another service. Ruckus is going to provide undergraduates with the opportunity to listen to music from the Ruckus provider for free on their computers. It's a very good service. They're going to be coming to Cornell over the course of the next semester to implement the infrastructure, and when the time comes, all the undergraduates can expect to be receiving communications about how to set up their accounts and what a lot of the benefits will include. Are there any questions regarding Ruckus? Representative Salem.
I really don't know much about music service providers here, but Ruckus, we had a problem with Napster. Biggest problem was that it's not compatible with the iPod, which a lot of students use. They can't download songs on it. And so that there is still going to be with still a huge usage of DC++. I mean, is that going to change with Ruckus at all? Or, I mean, what is sort of the fundamental difference between these two?
Ruckus is very similar to Napster, to the extent that, to the best of my knowledge, music is not going to be able to be listened to on somebody's iPod. The purpose is that they can listen to it on their computer, which the idea is to limit the amount of music that people will download from DC++ or other file sharing programs. But there was issues of compatibility with, I think, Apple computers versus PCs. I don't believe that is an issue with Ruckus. And they've also offered to set up all the infrastructure free of cost and guide us through the rest of the process. They've provided internet codes so we can post information on our websites and also press
releases.
It's just a whole new package all around. It's just better run, better managed. And they've been very active on campus so far. Any other questions? Okay, I have a quick announcement from the University Diversity Council. Something I've been on this year is the UDC, the working group of the UDC, chaired by Vice Provost David Harris and Robert Harris, the Deputy Provost for Cornell Deputy Provost, and the Vice Provost for Diversity at Cornell. Very interesting group made up of a lot of associate deans and assistant deans of the various colleges and departments at Cornell. Something that we discussed at the last meeting, which is very interesting, was Cornell's Diverse Purchasing Initiative, which is to the extent, well, let me back up for a second. Cornell makes $600 million in purchases through its purchasing office every year, and we make very strong effort to recruit local businesses or businesses that are owned by minorities or women. Cornell continued to has done this for a number of years now, and they've actually experienced quite a bit of success. And Cornell, among institutes of higher education, actually has a very good reputation for doing this. And I brought up at the meeting that I don't think undergraduates are very aware of the services that the diversity purchasing provides. So over the next few months, we're going to be making an effort to further publicize this to the undergraduates, offering we're going to be working to create pamphlets to maybe pass out to the Greek community or individuals when they arrive freshman year that are going to detail, you know, if an organization on campus wanted to engage in diverse purchasing, socially responsible purchasing, what is the means to go about doing that. So my job over the course of the year is going to be to try to bring a lot of the initiatives of the UDC into the undergraduate limelight. So does anybody have any questions regarding the UDC? Okay, seeing no other questions, I have one last announcement. That's an essay procedural update. You all received my email regarding how the rules of the bylaw funding process are going to be continued from here. You all had time to read it, had about 20 hours or so. If you have any questions about that now or any comments or concerns before we move into the budget hearings, now is a good time to address those. Representative Staley.
Well, I guess I just had a very quick question for you. The way I understood, I think you're talking about the two-thirds versus majority.
At which point?
Yeah, okay. So I guess my understanding, so I'm sorry, as we're talking like if there's a proposal, if we're voting on something at the point, not at the legislation point at the end of the semester, at the point where we're voting on an allocation that appropriations has recommended, the document seems to imply that you need two-thirds to overturn that and a majority to approve.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's true.
So if two-thirds is not reached, majority of the student assembly wants something, but not two-thirds want to overturn the decision. It seems to me that it says like the chair will exercise his or her, well, I guess in this case, his discretion in sort of continuing or limiting the debate. But if you decide to limit the debate, for example, I guess I'm uncertain then what happens to that recommendation.
The debate's only going to be controlled by the chair if we fail to receive a 50% majority in favor of Appropriations Committee decisions,
okay,
or if we fail to receive the two-thirds majority to disapprove of the Appropriations Committee decisions.
Okay. So if it falls, can I continue until one of those is reached?
Exactly. So
okay.
If it falls within that 16% or so, then we're going to continue the debate until a consensus is reached.
Okay, great.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Okay, I have one last announcement regarding the listserv. We've had discussions over our conduct on the listserv and how we're going to be using it. As of today, the Office of the Assemblies has placed all the members of the Executive Board as moderators on the listserv, so the listserv will continue to be used for only official business, official communications. Any elements of debate or discussion will be done via private email, hopefully copied to as many members of the Assembly as possible. Are there any questions on that point? Okay, seeing no other questions, we're going to move on to business of the day. The first item on business of the day is the Student Assembly's allocation of the 2008-2010 student activity fee. Today we have with us Cornell Cinema. It's representatives from... Okay, there's been a motion to reconsider the decision made by the Assembly regarding Wilderness Reflections as per last meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. The way this is going to work, as for this particular motion, it has to be motioned today, but it can't be dealt with until the following week because of logistical issues. The motion's been made, it's been seconded. However, because Representative Astory was on the prevailing side of the vote, this stands, and we'll discuss ways to reconsider the vote before next week's meeting.
Okay.
No, we don't. Okay, so that motion has been made and seconded, and we will deal with that at the executive committee meeting this week. However,
now we should deal with that executive.
Okay, we're going to move on to the Cornell Cinema presentation. Second. We stand by for 1 second. We're going to deal with all of this at the executive committee. I just want to move on to this today. This is a pressing issue for today's session. If representatives from Cornell Cinema can please come up to the microphone. Okay, just a couple quick points for everybody here in the room before we start. The way today's hearing is going to work, traditionally the group would have 5 minutes to make a presentation to the student assembly. However, we spoke to the group beforehand. Vice President Gay is going to make his presentation first. This was agreeable. He's going to kind of set the tone for the discussion, and then the group will have 5 minutes to make their presentation. For all the members of the audience today, Austin Redman, the essayist parliamentarian, is over to the side. If you wish to participate in today's debate, please see him now. Get your name on the speaker's list. I will make every effort to ensure that anybody in the audience who wishes to speak today has the opportunity to be heard. What I do ask from the audience in return, please limit your applause, please limit your screams or your yelps or your boos or anything like that. If that's the case, this meeting is going to last considerably longer than it has to be. Okay?
Yeah,
yes. I'm going to try to do every third. Okay. So at this point, Vice President Gay is going to surmise the decision of the SA Appropriations Committee that was made at the meeting on Monday evening.
Thanks, Lalan. Thanks, guys, for coming in here today. I know we've got a few meetings, and just so the Assembly knows and the audience knows, the Appropriations Committee of the Student Assembly voted 9-1 to recommend an allocation of $10 to Cornell Student Library during the next funding cycle. This is a decrease of $1 from the current funding level, and there was a reallocation of $11. The majority opinion felt that this could be accomplished. The dissenting opinion felt that the group should be funded with the full $11 as requested. One of the most salient points, which is often mentioned, and which I would like to echo, is the fact that the Appropriations Committee didn't want any services or offerings of Cornell Cinema to be cut. They felt they were being responsible in recommending the $1 decrease, and there's various reasons we can discuss. But they felt this was more of a budgetary issue, and one of the most pressing things that people kept saying was, once again, this is an incredibly valuable service, incredibly valuable and central part of the university, and you don't want to see any of the programs and services affected. And they felt that even with a $1 cut, that the operation would still be valuable. And once again, another thing which was stated was the fact that, and I'm sure representatives of Cornell Cinema are going to state this, but the mission of Cornell Cinema and their place on campus is something which can be questioned, but the Appropriations Committee felt extremely valuable, and that they were wholeheartedly behind the mission and the organization. And so that was never questioned. It was just the case that the $1 cut, which would end up at about $13,000. And so, once again, if anybody has any questions, they can pass it throughout the process regarding appropriations decision. But at this point, I think it makes sense to go ahead and let the group introduce themselves to the budget and discuss the recommended allocation.
Okay, so just real quick, the group is going to have 5 minutes to make their presentation regarding questions and debate afterward. Today, the speaking time is going to be extended to 3 minutes. Please try to limit all motions to extend the speaker's time because I will be accepting them only sparingly. If I am gaveling you off, please don't take it personally, but there are a lot of people here that want to speak today, and we're going to make every effort to allow as many people to speak as we can. Okay? So, Cornell Stone with time. Thank you. We're running about a minute over, so if you can direct discussions as to how the cut you feel would affect your overall budget. Thank you very much. First, thank you. The first speaker will be Vice President Slick.
Thank you again for coming. I've been tremendously impressed by the dedication the two of you have shown this week, as well as everyone here who has come to support you. We'll be honest, on Monday I voted against the $11. I was in favor of the $10. But after really reading up on Cornell Cinema and speaking to people about their experiences at Cornell Cinema, I think the Appropriations Committee made a mistake on Monday, and I think that you should be fully funded at $11. Our stipulation on Monday was that the $13,000 would come from rent paid to the Willard Straight Hall Theater. That's fine for us to say, but how are you supposed to do that? It's completely illogical for you to say, well, we don't have this money now, let's waive rent. I spoke to the Dean of Students last night. I told him the situation, and basically he summarized what would happen. And the $13,000 that you pay in rent is rent.
What is that?
It's $22,000, right? And then the money from the GPSA. That's paid in rent to Willard Straight Hall. That's revenue for Willard Straight Hall. If we don't pay that, if you don't pay rent to that facility anymore, where else is that coming out? It's going to be a ripple effect. It's going to affect other organizations. So while we might be cutting funding for Cornell Cinema, we're cutting something else too, because it's money that goes back into the system and also benefits students. Something that you didn't mention on Monday, which I learned today, which was very interesting, was that you have at the bottom of their statements, you might find there's $50,000 in reserve. And some people might regard this as a little excessive, but if you listen to why they have this, they have a 70-year-old projector that's from 1938 that could break any day. It could be broken now, and we don't even know it. As a result, that would completely end Cornell Cinema. So it's just a complete waste of our money to give them this money, and then the projector just breaks, and they don't have it, and what did our money just go for? I think the reserve for the funding for the projector is completely legitimate. I think the money that they have on reserve is insurance for the rest of our money that we're giving them. I think a lot of people are going to throw out numbers today about surveys, and they've talked to people and irresponsible usage of funds. But I think that your organization has spent your money well. It's excessive. It's a lot of money. You're one of the you're one of the highest funded groups we fund. But it's certainly well worth it, and I think that you're doing a great job, and I'd like to yield the rest of my time to you to respond and say anything you didn't get to say in the beginning.
You have about 15 seconds.
Okay. Enjoy.
Whole group of people are trying to get on the speaker's list. To you by Representative Hartman.
Throughout the next 30 minutes, you are going to hear passionate claims about the cultural significance of cinema on campus. Many from the audience, many of the university today. I want to press on you, reiterate, and instill, hopefully, an appreciation of your job, guys, here as assembly members. Cornell Cinema offers a great service at Cornell. No doubt about that, but if we get stuck in this debate, we will do the students a huge disservice that are not in this building right now. We must appropriate the activity fee in a way that benefits students. We are not here to pay off the debt of groups. We are not here to artificially support groups. Instead, we are here to create student life on campus. AFCOM's proposal is that by paying $10 from every student, Cinema will give students a $2.50 decrease in ticket prices. That's the true argument. That's what we must remain in this debate. And we must also debate if cinema is financially prudent to receive money. How they spend their money wisely. Now I'd like to go into the actual breakdown of how many students utilize point of cinema. I conducted a randomly sampled Facebook poll.
Point of order. Facebook polls are not valid forms of quantitative. Facebook polls are not forms of quantitative data.
That is out of order. I would like to go into my poll. Facebook polls is a random sample way to...
We're actually going
to
skip the Facebook poll for now because that kind of data can't be used against the group in a reasonable way.
I'm not going to use it against the group. Because
you have about a minute and a half. You have about a minute and a half left. So I suggest you move on me on the Facebook poll.
Okay. Now I'll go into this. Cornell pays about $4 per ticket plan.
Right.
Okay. And if Cornell Cinema raised the ticket price to $5,
about 1 minute left.
How many students do you think would flee from the cinema? Remember in 2005, when Paul said that students would flee about 8,000, I believe he said. And I was wondering if ticket prices did raise to $5, how many students would flee? Just from your answer.
Yeah, we should really have
Vice President Nader Raj.
Can I ask a quick point of information to the chair, please?
Not a
clear policy.
What policy?
Because you said 10 feet on Facebook poll, which is fine. I have to make sure we're consistent because Vice President Slickland spoke on what someone else said to him, which is here saying the same way Vincent's speaking about what other people said from on the poll. So I'm just curious with policy because CJ said what Dean Hubble said, which is fine. The gentleman in the past, we refrain from wanting to speak on behalf of administrators because they're not here, and so we shouldn't let people speak on behalf of other people.
My statement was based on hearsay
from this,
and from Ken.
All right. From this point on, only valid statistical data, scientific data will be used, and the quotes of administrators that are not present in the room to defend them will not be used either.
Thank you.
Vice President Natarajan.
Yeah, I first just want to thank everyone in the audience for coming. I don't think we've ever actually filled the gallery, so thank you. I just want to address Vince, your comments about how Cornell Cinema is using their funds. The salaries, the rent, they're not just going to magically go away because we cut them $1. Those overhead costs are going to stay, and they're going to have to cut down on their programming in order to support themselves. I think that, and the comment was made in appropriations, that maybe forcing them to go to fewer niche films like Silent Films, foreign documentary, stuff like that, that would not be the best thing. I think that this is an investment in art, and it's worth the extra dollar to maintain the scope of diversity that we offer on this campus. That was just one quick comment I wanted to make, and I yield the rest of my time to you guys if you have anything you want to add to that.
Thank you.
Just about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, it's really important to know that basically we have salary costs, we have rental costs, and those are just costs between businesses and costs of having this kind of program on campus. And there isn't anything to be done. We'll illustrate chances of like those rental costs off the books. As it's been stated, I believe there is a representative here from illustration who discussed more specifically the cost of illustration occurs in keeping up this building if the community members occur. So they can't eliminate those costs. And so if you cut our funding by a dollar, they still have to charge us rent because they need that rent money to cover their costs in keeping this building going, keeping the theater going so that we can use it. So it just doesn't appear. And so it makes a lot of sense to keep our funding at the $11 level. We will certainly try, and hopefully with your help, to raise additional subsidy from someplace else on campus that will in a sense offset those costs. We need time to do that. We can't just do that like that.
Okay. At this point in the meeting, we'll go to our first audience member. Austin.
First community member on the list is Seth Jacobson. Question 17.
Sir, you have 3 minutes. Time begins now.
All right. I'm Seth Jacobson. I'm the quadrant engineering major. I actually have never done anything with Cornell Cinema before. I'm just a common patron. I have probably attended 15 to 20 films in 4 years, or roughly 4 years, 3.5 or whatever. And all I can say is that $11 is the cost of a film, single film, at the movie theater at Cameron Mall. And I think that's an important thing to keep in perspective. And another thing to keep in perspective is I think the point made is that this is art that's being shown. It's not You know, it's not just a lot of campus theaters, which is the reruns of old commercial films. And I think it's very important that really the corner cinema shows a lot of different things. And that sort of thing, you know, you can't take this sort of business-driven profit model and apply it to art like that because it doesn't work that way. And I guess that's all I'm going to say.
There's about 2 minutes left if the group wants to take that time to address any points.
Well, thank you. That was very well put.
It's great to hear things like that. I would just say regarding Ms. Harkin's comment that Cornell Cinema does in fact improve student life on campus by showing films 7 nights a week, by getting as diverse of an audience as you can get. We show films that will attract early evening.
Representative Asher.
Thank you. Okay, so again, thank you for that. I want to stress for the people that, which is, I'm not here to debate whether or not what you guys provide is a valuable service on campus, that you guys do feel enriched on campus. Otherwise, it wouldn't be filled if that was people who watch the film. So I'm not here to debate that, so please don't take anything that you say personally. What I am here to provide is some history as to what happened with Cornell Cinema when you guys were raised $3 2 years ago. Two arguments that you guys made before us. One was that you would increase student activity, like the amount that you would get from people by $3, you would be able to bring the ticket price down by 75 cents, and therefore the cost of that would increase the number of people who would be coming to Cornell Cinema. But if we look at the years from 2004, 2005, 2006, we're close to $160,000, taking into account card income. And once we raised your fee substantially, from 8 to 11, it went down to $120,000 all of a sudden. So to me, it doesn't warrant that $3 increase because the revenue that you guys took in the number of screen viewings went down. The other problem that was raised was that the student assembly bond funding, the student's money cannot be used to pay salary. To me and other assembly members that year, it was not, you didn't properly answer that question. It wasn't really a satisfactory answer. And it's still being used to pay salary, which again is not allowed for student activity fee. The other thing is that there's no real student members. You do have employees, and many organizations do have employees, but every other SAS application I've seen has at least a student for either the primary contact or the secondary contact. That's not the case. It's both full-time staff, and it's not really a student-run organization in that sense. Seth, I appreciate your comment. I believe it was Seth Jacobson just spoke. The problem that I have is that I think that it's wonderful if you appreciate this art, it's wonderful if you want to bring it to cinema, but it should be equally competitive. In the sense of, if you want to go see this art and other people don't, then you should be able to pay or foot that part of the cost.
1 minute
left. Thank you. I've been to one Cornell Cinema viewing once, and said, I'm an RA in this programming department. That's the only reason that I went. Because, to be honest, not because they don't offer good programming, but because the times were convenient. When the film was much more convenient, I went to Fair Mall. I went to see a couple movies here. And the other thing is this, the increase of digital movies has caused a big decrease in the number of people turning out for cinema. But the big thing is that I think it should be equally competitive. And I'm a member of the gyms here. I don't get any of that programming actually. I'd love to have that subsidized, because that's what I'm a member of, but I don't get that subsidized. So if people choose to go and view this, then perhaps some of it should be subsidized because of some of the expenses that you guys have, but it should be subsidized to the extent of $11. I printed out all what our OSU's OAS SAS is. Cornell Cinema is like the second or third highest putting aside SAS because they're from so many other groups. And that's a big burden that you're placing on students. I paid almost $40 for 4 years I've been here to see one movie.
Representative Salem.
The assembly that we recommend
to the order will be covered. Representative Salem, point of order. Yes.
First, I would like to mention that Cornell Cinema, I totally appreciate what you guys have to offer at the campus. I think it's a very good thing. But I think that assembly members, we shouldn't engage in a debate as to which group fulfills a niche
or a quote-unquote vital niche or a quote-unquote important niche, because if we come down to that, we're going to get into very murky waters. Because, to be honest, there is no group in my mind, or there are a limited number of groups in my mind that can just be branded as totally don't fulfill a niche. Most groups here fulfill something, and that's why they're here at Cornell. Now, when it comes to Cornell Cinema's funding, Mary, I don't know your last name, so if you don't mind, I'm going to call you Mary for a second. You said 21,000 students come to Cornell Cinema, right? Is that the number of tickets?
Our overall attendance last year was 32,000.
Is that just undergrad?
But that's our overall attendance. Undergrad is 21,000.
That's the number of tickets, not the number of students, right?
The number of undergraduate admissions.
Okay, perfect. So, since if we use mathematical deduction here, we have 21,000 students attending. Now, we are subsidizing $2.50. It's pretty much what this comes down to. We're paying $11 for Cornell Cinema, and the ticket price goes down by $2.50. Now, what does that mean? That means each student has to attend 4 movies. If you divide 21,000 by 4, you're going to get a little bit more than 5,000. So we have the 8,000. We have a huge number of students who I can argue do not attend Cornell Cinema. Now I understand that people are at least not attended to the level of warranting this amount of funding. The fact of the matter is, we have to consider that as student assembly members, we are allocating people's money. And when you allocate someone's money, we have to make sure that the benefit they are getting is at least equivalent or more to that money that we
give
to these groups. I'm sorry?
1 minute.
Thank you. But I think that if you look at the budget and we look at attendance using this simplified mathematical equation, we can see that that doesn't work. Now, I appreciate art. My sister is an artist. I have a huge appreciation for art. I've done drama in high school. It's unbelievable what that sounds. I know that it is important to have it. But again, if it was my money, you guys can have it. But with someone else's money that is subsidizing other students, I don't think that's fair. I think that the assembly should consider cutting Cornell Cinema. I do not think we should get into the debate of which group will fill the niche and which doesn't. We should only get into the debate of do students get a benefit out of this. And you know what? The only objective way to measure this is to put your guys in and answer is no.
I just like to clarify, as the vice president of finance, one point was brought by NASDAQ Atru. He said that we're not allowed to pay for salaries and such. And just as a point of information, if you look at the actual budget, there are over $220,000 in expenses which relate to film activities, programming, theater, stuff like that. And there's only $210,000 in total, which comes from the GPSA and SA if you aggregate those two numbers. So there is no question. I mean, there's no argument to be made that this is outside of the purview, that we can't fund. That's not a legitimate argument. So.
At this point, Austin, if there's another community member that wishes to speak.
The next community member is Jessica Lytra.
Man, you have 3 minutes and time limit. You just speak into the microphone real close.
He is a member of Cornell Student Advisory Board, and he sent in letter from the campaign. Today we're going to ask about the amount of funds at Cornell Student
Advisory Board. I just have to ask one quick, I just won't count against your time. Is this your quote right now? Is this your statement, or is this on behalf of somebody else?
It is both.
So it's arguably this is your statement?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it is essential that you continue to give Cornell Cinema the same amount of funding it has received in the past. Cornell Cinema is one of the few organizations on campus that can give students from the widest range of backgrounds the ability to relax and fund cultural experience at the same time. Moreover, since each group is relatively small today, students can have a difficult time finding cultural aspects that would be present in larger cities. However, this is precisely what Cornell Cinema offers, and a chance to experience the cultural aspects. At the same time, Cornell Cinema offers every student a convenient and easy way to take a break from work and enjoy pop culture. This is an organization that almost everybody on campus can and probably has used. Therefore, I think and show a very wide variety of skills that attract students from engineering, talent, hotels, all of them. And anytime I have lots of tickets,
about a minute and a half left.
One of them was about the drop in ticket income between 0506 and 0607 from 150-some to 120-some. There was an inquiry about why didn't that happen, if you were planning to move when you get more attendance, if you drop the ticket price to $4. The reason you see that drop there is because we showed 40 fewer films last year than the year before, and that actually accounts for that drop. That was part of our own effort to streamline the program by making cuts where we could. That's why we're sort of feeling like we've already gone through this process of making cuts where we could, so that we can't make any more. That's why that dropped. We did, in fact, do fine at the box office. There wasn't a drop in attendance. So I hope that made that clear. I think Adam actually did clarify the fact that the salaries are not necessarily covered by the activities fee because the cost in doing all of the programming, the advertising, film rental, shipping, all of those different things, all of those costs amount to over $200,000. I also wanted to reiterate that we actually work with over 30 student organizations every year in terms of the cost of presenting programs for those student organizations.
Representative Coombs.
I want to say first of all that I'm actually one of the members of the assembly who is a patron of Cornell Cinema. One of my favorite things to do last year was to go out on some random Tuesday or Thursday and see whatever film was offered there and get that experience. I've always really enjoyed Cornell Cinema. And I know it sounds tired and trite, but it's really inspiring to see everyone here today who's taking part in the political process, albeit the student political process. That said, I really, despite my love for Cornell Cinema, it's different being up here to the extent that I really feel like I want to represent the entire student body. And I see arguments for and I see arguments against, and I would just ask the rest of the assembly to, I think it's very important, I would really like to hear a lot of people chime in on this, while keeping the drama and the melodrama at a minimum and giving it to the professionals in the Cornell Cinema on the screen, your actual people's opinions and see just get more dialogue going from the assembly. I think this is very important. Allocation has been brought up for us. This could make or break this organization, and I think it's very important that we really give this the time and thought that it deserves and consider all the circumstances.
You have a minute left.
So basically, I say that only to say that I am a complete swing voter at this point. I would really like to hear some members who normally don't speak up on these things to speak up. I think that the people in the audience deserve that. I think that your fellow assembly members deserve that. And I think that the student body represents deserves that. And so with that, I appreciate it. I yield my time to Representative Hart if you have any questions.
Yeah, I had a question. As Mark, I've gone to film at Cornell Cinema, and I've been there, and I enjoyed it, but as Matt Beck and Oscar said, it's a subsidy, and that's my main concern. I would like to know if Cornell Cinema could provide, since the theater, if we could rent for provide a stage for other groups to present on, to provide culture in Lord Drake Hall, because all of our groups have to go outside of Lord Drake and perform in Statler, perform in other buildings, because Cornell Cinema uses it every day. And I'm wondering, can we justify that? Can we have like Cornell Cinema coming to a more cultural
point of
order? I'm not going to gather more than one. I'll give the group 1 minute to respond to the fact, or to the point about renting out your space to other organizations. I know that's something that's been discussed. Sure. I'll give the group 1 minute to discuss perhaps renting out the space to other organizations if that's a viable option.
I guess the main thing you mentioned is that the space actually isn't suited for actual
very expensive equipment right on the stage, our speakers, and the screen is there, and right now the theater is not set up to be able to actually cover the screen. The screen is fixed there. So there would be many issues to be addressed. I'm not saying that we wouldn't be open to the possibility of having a discussion about that, but there are a lot of reasons why the stage itself actually isn't suitable for
Great. Representative Wang.
Hi, thank you for coming. So I just had a few questions. So why is, like, for example, I've seen and your friends, you have special guests in Bangkok. Now, I was wondering, do you apply this funding with other groups to get additional funding for these events? Because a lot of other groups that we fund do that as well.
Yes, we do. Actually, if you look up in the income section of our budget and you can see funding raised from academic departments, I think it's actually all in that line. We regularly approach academic departments and programs, and every year we apply to Cornell Housing Scholars for additional income. And so we're raising, over $30,000 each year to help cover costs of special events, in particular film screenings that we're doing.
And then another thing is, I think my fellow representative said, Matt, I asked Gary to say earlier, that as you can see, the number of attendees have decreased. Doesn't that show to you that maybe students are less interested in coming to St. Cornell Cinema's event? And also, are you sure students may actually, or like the cost of, or ticket, why don't you just increase the cost of the ticket? Not so much of an increase.
Well, let's see. I think the first comment you made about the decrease in attendance maybe relates to the comment that was made to the gentleman sitting next to you. And I was trying to address that with my previous comment, saying that even though it looks like there was a drop in ticket income, I mean, it was a drop in ticket income, but it's specifically associated to the fact that it was shown for fewer films. And so, I mean, showing it so one would think they haven't shown the same number. If you could take the average amount of money that we might make per film, that accounts for that difference. So attendance actually remained at the same level. So there was not a drop in attendance. And you know, there's so much talk about attendance and what undergraduates go.
Just got 1 minute left.
Okay, based on our figures, to give you information, we show about 275 films a year. And so if you break down our overall attendance, that means average attendance per film, not per screening, is 120. If you apply the percentage that we that exists for how many undergraduates out of that total are making up our audience, you get about 75 undergraduates per film on average. We show 9 films per week, so that means that there are 675 undergraduates per week coming through our doors to see films. And I think that's actually a pretty impressive number. I'm sorry, I think you have another
question. Yeah, one more question, sorry. So, you're saying that the crowdfunding has reduced the price of tickets over the past year, but I see no reason to decrease the ticket prices because it's only $1 or $2 decrease. Like, I wouldn't mind paying the original price because, as Seth said earlier, the price for the Cornell is that Karen Mullen is $11, so why not just get the original price?
Take a minute and respond to that.
One thing different about Cornell Cinema, and it's important to make this distinction, we're not showing all brand new movies like them all. Part of our mission is to show classic films, to bring in films that actually really already are out on DVD, and we're enhancing that experience by bringing in guest speakers, organizing them in a thematic series, bringing in filmmakers to show the work. Nevertheless, struggle for us to make sure that students realize that it's worth coming out to the theater because they sort of say, hey, it's already on DVD. Many students do recognize seeing a film on the big screen is really worth something. Seeing it projected in 35mm is really worth something. But we still have to do that kind of education. And so part of the way that we can get around that issue of somebody saying, well, they're showing this classic Hollywood film, I can just see that on cable, I can just or even a relatively new film, I can download it on my computer. So to remain competitive, we really need to have the price be significantly lower, I think.
Awesome.
that the next speaker is Appropriations Committee member Guy Conley. So let's get like on the an attack on the crimson life that you guys have time to really know what you do. At the same time, after looking through all the material for the Appropriations Committee to the essay and the testimony, a couple things stick out in my mind. From your own presentation to the Appropriations Committee, it looks like your organization has been in some degree of decline over the past 20, 25 years, and you've had your money increased over that time. Right here, ticket sales began covering less than 50% of operating costs by the end of the 1990s. They saw their audience drop by half around the 1980s because cable TV, video cassettes, doubling the global theater screens, etc. Their funding has been increased because of this, and I have a hard time recommending to the CSA to increase funding when from the $10. So to keep funding the same when these folks have been, I guess you could say, struggling over the past few years. In their presentation to the Appropriations Committee on Monday, they said that they had an average turnout of 50 people per program, per screening, excuse me, that's what I meant. So Gears Hall sees 420 people, and Willow Street Hall sees 340. Now, I'm not doubting that many of these programs are sold out, but for every sold out program, that means that there has to be very low turnout at others to sort of run up to this 50 people average. Just for the audience members, the $11 seems to be a lot of money from my perspective as a student. We have other organizations, for example, the Cornell EMS, which is the largest EMS service in Thompson County, they run for $3.38. So I have a hard time giving $11 to an organization that has trouble maintaining itself on $11 when another massive organization can survive on $3.38. So whatever I can do, I'd like to give you guys.
You've got a minimum?
I don't know what percentage that $3 covers of what their overall budget is, and whether the same standards are applied to all of the groups that the people in the activities see. Sometimes when comments are made, I think maybe the same standards are applied as are applied to current cinema. I think that's important to try to be fair in the application of those things. I'd also like to say that the $11, I think the point was made earlier, that $11 is about the cost of a single movie ticket at the mall. And so I think to put it in perspective, to say that the cost of a single movie ticket you make possible, perhaps not for yourself, but for many, many students on campus, the possibility of Cornell Cinema. It isn't just about the ticket price, it's about Cornell Cinema existing, a repertory cinema that's been around since 1970 and does amazing things. And so $11 in that sense is the price of a single movie ticket to go see a movie at the mall. It's really actually pretty reasonable, given that we present 275 films and do so many special events with guest speakers.
Okay. Put the signs up a little higher. I can't really see them back here. Vice President Lennon.
Sorry. I wanted to kind of elaborate on something that was said by one of the community members. I've been going back and forth too, and I'm glad to hear different sides of the argument. So if you you look at the graphs and you're talking about percentages of students that come relative to the undergraduate student body and how much money we're paying, it's a very expensive program. We're paying a lot of money, but someone mentioned it in the audience. If you look at it that way, it's expensive because it's expensive, but at the same time, the benefits. From having, as you were saying, from having the cinema, it's really outside of the grasp. It's, someone said in the AppCon meeting, when students come to campus and they see the cinema, it's an admissions tool. It's a center for cultural sharing and expansion. I know that sounds all cliche, but it's expensive, but we get the benefits in things outside of what you can put on the graph and measure in how many students that come. So I really feel that it's necessary to maintain their funding. I don't want to see programs cut. That's really where I'm coming from.
There's about a minute and 15 seconds for group wants to respond. Thank you.
I appreciate the comment. And I think it's very true that students do actually make decisions about coming to Cornell based on the fact that they find out that Cornell cinema exists. I've definitely heard that from students who actually either email us before they even talk to campus, who found that out on the web. say, I found out about you on the web, I really want to get involved. And so I think, and I certainly know that the faculty members who really feel like it makes a huge difference having Cornell Cinema here. And then they really say they feel like it's a, you know, it's the saving grace for being here, because otherwise we would really feel very isolated and feel like it's a small town with, you know, not too much going on. And so I think that's important. You want to keep your faculty members and keep them here, strong faculty members, and students who actually come here because of that. And students who have got to leave Cornell actually have been shaped by Cornell Cinema. Students who start going to Cornell Cinema and decide they want to work in the film industry, they want to be filmmakers, that they change their majors, or they go on to do something, become a producer. And I've been at Cornell Cinema for 20 years, and so I've seen a lot of these things happen over the time that I've been there. And then this has meant a lot to students who have been involved in that.
Representative Ronsdale. You have about 3 minutes.
Thank you. Hello, I am also an employee of Cornell Cinema, but I'm also a local. I've been coming to Cornell Cinema since as long as I can remember, and this hasn't been mentioned yet, but Cornell Cinema is another great thing that Cornell does for the community, and it's extremely important for universities to maintain good relationships with the communities that they are a part of. Another thing that hasn't been mentioned that much is the supplement that Cornell Cinema provides to classes. A lot of the classes have films that work into their curriculum. And I've been working on the box office where we have students come in and say, I'm coming to the film for a class. That happens a lot. And even if you don't have a class that has the film showing at Cornell Cinema, I find Cornell Cinema itself almost like another class I'm taking. Every film I go to see makes me think about something different. It's diverse and very important part of my Cornell experience. I yield the rest of my time in there.
We've got a minute, 10 seconds left.
There were some things that haven't come up before. And it basically represents how much Cornell Cinema is really sort of knitted into the fabric of the university, but also the community. And, you know, what a tremendous sort of outreach it is to the community. But then just the way, you know, we basically, you know, sort of, you know, are out there in all parts of the campus, working with faculty. As I said, a lot of times we certainly are notifying faculty all the time of what we're showing, and they'll say, oh, wow, that would be great. It would be great for my students to see that film. Or I'll email them and say, I think it's going to be pertinent to your class, and so they'll send their students. And so, you know, that's part of the, you know, our educational mission, that it works that way, that it's a great enhancement to student education here. And it really does get used in that way a lot, and I think it is really important.
Representative Bid.
Yeah, I was first in the line, the representative I didn't talk about. When I was here 10 years ago, with Cornell, I knew many to exist, the Cornell reputation for academics, etc. And the reason that I visited was to really rationalize and listen to the Arctic Tundra or the college. And again, the Cornell Cinema was one of the things that I saw on my campus tour as really providing a sense of culture, community, really bringing
a lot of people, what I'm getting is just the vibe that you're concerned. Direct quote, if you have Cornell Cinema consistent, I don't think anyone here wants to cut Cornell Cinema, you know, completely. Nobody wants to do that. But, you know, again, it says appropriation committee member died in that said, when you have capacity in your theaters, you know, between 10 and 15% on average, that's a concern to all of us. There is something to be right, whether, you know, and really what I suggest is that the Cornell Cinema really look at perhaps not being 7 days a week, being Wednesday through Sunday. You know, if there are five people on average going to shows Monday, Tuesday, you know, it really doesn't make sense to have those shows. And you can have much more than happen on weekends.
Got 1 minute left.
I definitely Cornell Cinema is very important to me. It's very important for all the reasons that you said. It's an impact on the community, retaining faculty, providing education to students. But in my mind, I can't justify the current expenditure based on the current demand. So a lot of people take it for
granted. One thing I'll say is that, as I mentioned before, presenting films that are more obscure, that are art films, that are classic films, most of them are going to have a huge audience, although I actually could quote some figures here for, but sometimes they do. We should have restored French film last year, Army of Shadows, and I was sort of looking at the numbers, and of course I'm not seeing them right now, but, you know, something like, 300, 400 people turning up for that. It really varies. The averages maybe don't sound great, but it really goes up and down. So, we really could have 3, 4, 2 for something.
Representative Buttigieg. A minute and a half.
Thank you.
Sir, you have 3 minutes.
So I was going to talk about how valuable cultural institutions and how Cornell is really, Cornell Center is really important to the Cornell arts community. I think we've heard that a lot. I want to say, because Vice President said earlier, my tuition actually came to Cornell because of Cornell Center. It was decided actively over film programs at Wesleyan, Bard, and Northwestern University, all well-acquainted film programs. Cornell Center was a big difference maker. And that's $40,000 worth of the university. So that sort of money isn't just, that's not just doing activities on the economics of it, so cut and dry. The same in the Cornell Center brings to the Cornell community, the Cornell arts community, to the cultural community, ISCA in general, is tremendously valuable, but it can't be quantified by just the scientific process. And I think that's what it's going to be.
Give a little over 2 minutes.
One thing I think a lot of you voices support for Cornell Cinema, but then go on to say, but she seems like maybe, a cut might be a good idea. Right now, at least the specific recommendation that's on the table of a dollar cut, it's a dollar for students that you're talking about, and not to mention the importance of that, but obviously the cumulative effect of that is going to be a $13,000 cut for this organization. That really will create tremendous hardship for us. We've already made a bunch of cuts already. We've already cut down the number of calendars that we produce each year from 7 to 5. We've got to create that much more into each calendar as a way of saving money. We've already done that. So to get this blow at this point, when you're really talking about $100, I mean, when for us, it makes a really big difference. And I just hope that people are going to hang on to that idea that it really will make a difference for us. To keep our funding at the $11 level and not have a job. And I think there probably are a lot of students who would say, yeah, I really want to save my dollar. When we're just talking about the dollar in itself.
Representative Matthews. 1 minute left. Just in the interest of still getting everybody in the speakers list, would you mind yielding your time to me so we can move on to some more speakers? Lance Paul.
So that's one thing I wanted to say. And the I
can't say specifically exactly what it is we would do or what we won't be able to do. It certainly would be fewer guest speakers, fewer guest artists coming in, definitely. Fewer live music events, which are some of the more popular things that we do, but they're quite expensive, and so we just realistically would have to say we're going to have to do fewer of those. The ripple effect mentioned over here is that if you do, in fact, get $11 from the cheapest essay, and you get $10 from the essay, we probably will be more than a half and just go back to the two-tier ticket structure. And we really don't want to do that.
Can you try and quantify it for us at all in terms of how many fewer movies are you showing? Maybe 7 nights a week, and maybe showing them 4 nights a week. Can you really try and help us to see what Cornell says?
It's hard to say. I said it would probably be in the special event section that would probably go first. That would be speakers and events, most likely the area where we would have to turn to. And one of the things that's a little tricky about that, when you start sort of cutting into those sorts of special things we do and the unusual films that we show, I'm not suggesting necessarily that we would have to cut so much that this could happen, but it's important to note that we're getting funding from many different sources, including the New York State Council on the Arts. The money that we get from them is dependent on the special events we do, the special guests we bring in, the unusual films that we show. If we begin to cut into that too much, we potentially lose that sort of, you know, that income could be affected.
Representative Stein.
We're speaking in very absolute terms, but it doesn't look to me like the cinema is closing down if there's a $1 cut. I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong. It just looks like ticket prices are going to drop a little bit. And since it seems like there's a small niche of students who are utilizing the cinema, I mean, personally, I haven't been here that long, but I have yet to meet a single person who goes to the cinema until tonight when it's all of you. And it just seems like it would be such a tragic thing for those students to pay a little bit extra to go to the cinema. $1 is actually a lot, because like you mentioned, it's $13,000, which could apply to other, be applied to other programs that help more students. I mean, how would you respond to that?
Well, I would respond by saying I don't think it is a given that it's only small to go to the cinema. I would appreciate that. I think a large portion of the student body does take advantage of Cornell Cinema, and I'm happy that Cornell Cinema is here. I think the people here in the audience are an example of that. And as I said, they come from all parts of the university, studying in all different areas, and it's representative of the kind of students we have come. I'm sorry that you don't personally know anybody who does go, but our numbers show that we had 21,000 undergraduate admissions last year, and it's not really just, you know, 100 people coming over and over and over again. We know that that is not true. If we're serving half of the student body, let's say, hypothetically.
So are you? I mean, in all
reality. Oh, I think we are.
If we have 13,000 undergraduates, mm-hmm. 21,000 are coming throughout the year, you're selling 21,000 tickets, and I'm sure you do have a core group. What percentage of the university do you really think you're serving?
Oh, as I said, I think we're serving at least 50% of the undergraduate student population, you know, if not more, as far as coming through our doors and contributing to those 20,000 undergraduate admissions. And so I think it's really misleading to make statements and say you're serving a small portion of the student body. It's actually just not true.
Well, I just say it seems that way. It would be nice if there was some way to break that down. I mean, we don't have numbers or you would provide them.
Obviously, we're not really, you know, checking, we're not writing down people's names as they come through the door. We had some discussions about that, but we can work on doing that so that when we come back to you in 2 years, we can try to have a more specific breakdown. Obviously, when we're selling tickets at the box office, we're trying to get people through as quickly as possible. And so there's only so much data that we've done on the surveys, and so we do have fairly good data on that.
Representative Sarah.
Hi. I just want to say, my opinion, $10 is fair. From a lucrative, just going over numbers, you can go into effect until 08-09 initially.
Representative Miller.
Money is going to present opportunities that everyone
Okay, seeing no speakers remaining on the first speaker's list, we're going to move to the second speaker's list. The first person on the second speaker's list is Vice President Slipman.
Ian, very well said. I think we have really beat this one to death. It's clear that we do want some changes, and I will... Oh, one other thing. It's completely irresponsible for any of us to say or think, well, I've never gone to the Cornell Cinema, or I don't know anyone who's gone to Cornell Cinema. I've never been there, but that's not affecting my vote, and I hope it won't affect anyone else's. So I motion to disapprove the action of the Appropriations Committee.
Okay, there's been a motion to disapprove of the decision of the Appropriations Committee.
Is he calling for question?
No, I'm going to explain that in a second. He's motion to disapprove of the action of the Appropriations Committee. Is there a second? Okay, is there any dissent? Okay, seeing no dissent, I'm going to clarify what this means. The decision of the Appropriations Committee was to fund Cornell Cinema at $10 per student. By disapproving of the decision of the Appropriations Committee, all you're voting for right now is that you disapprove the decision of AFSCON to fund at $10. We're not voting on a number. We're not voting on a total. We're not voting on a final allocation for Cornell Cinema. This is just to, if you vote in the affirmative, you're voting to disapprove of AFSCON. If you're voting in the negative, you're voting not to disapprove of AFSCON. Does everybody understand how we're voting? Okay, so at this point, we need two-thirds to disapprove of AFSCON's decision.
Two-thirds have to say yes.
And two-thirds have to vote in the affirmative to disprove. Okay, please call the roll. No, ask her.
Oh, yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Proxy.
Oh. Proxy to disapprove. Yes.
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 Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No. Oh, yes.
Okay, so we have two-thirds. The decision of the Appropriations Committee is now disapproved. So right now there's no allocation total on the table, which means that we will be accepting recommendations from members of the Assembly. The next member on the second speaker's list is what's our new speaker's list. So the speaker's list is now open. Representative Budish. Gotcha. Just let's discuss some numbers for now, and then we'll motion to consider a certain number.
So, should I talk about a number?
I suggest a number. I mean, it's still open for debate. Okay, so you're suggesting $11, full funding. Representative A. Salem.
I recommend an allocation of $8, which is an allocation 2 years ago, because their argument 2 years ago was that up it up to $11 increased student attendance. However, at that, according to student attendance has not increased. So up it, make it down to $8, and they should raise the ticket prices that they likely were 2 years ago. I think that's a fair allocation, so I'm recommending $8.
Representative Wang.
My suggestion would be $9, and that I see the greatness of the benefits of Cornell Cinema. However, I just want to remind the Assembly members here that we're not here to cut the funding completely, and that they're definitely going to be running. It's just how much the student activity going into their budget and helping them out. And I also want to emphasize that, I also agree with Rex Azier here, that sale, I mean, sorry, sale, that they should definitely increase their ticket prices, because as you can see, they have an enthusiastic crowd of people, and that they can, if they want to watch this film, they're willing to pay the dollar or maybe even $2 increase or 50 cent increase. And I'm sure that the number of people that will come in and will not decrease, they will probably stay around the same. Thank you.
Lance Carlton. And there's no members after him on the speakers list, so if you'd like to speak, please let me know.
All right. I think I have a revolutionary idea here. Guys, there are 100 cents in every dollar. I don't understand why the numbers that we're dealing with are either 10 or 11, or the other two recommendations are 8 or 9. I'm going to try and find a compromise somewhere in between. I think that's probably where we need to net out here. So maybe we could try and recommend that you guys are able to increase this by 25 to 50 cents. What if we see our number like $10 for 50 cents? That would be my recommendation. $10.50.
What's your recommendation? $10.50. Vice President Flickman.
My recommendation would be for $11 full funding, and I motion to have that vote right now because we should go from descending order from the highest recommendation to the lowest.
I'm going to take one last speaker off the speaker's list first. Representative Harper.
Using their attendance that they provided us, they give us 21,000 new graduates attend, and they provide a discounted student ticket of $2.50. So 21,000 times 250 is equal to about 53,000. And if you divide 53,000 by 13,000 students, that's equivalent to $4. That's not that students are utilizing right now. And I would like to motion for $4 now.
So there's been an allocation. $4. At this point, if any members of the community wish to speak, if there's no members left on the speaker's list, regarding the funding totals that have been presented, we'll take two members from the community before we move to a vote on some of these totals.
First, appropriations.
3 minutes, starting now.
A couple of things. I voted in favor of reducing the allocation by a dollar. It's a such a draw to Cornell's community. I don't understand why 63% of their revenue is coming from student fees and ticket prices. It's such a big marketing thing. Why isn't other money from the university coming in? Also, you know, $10 and $11 is a lot of money when there's no proven statistical data. And there was a call to question I previously earlier to say that there is a wide range of people that use it but have no statistical data to prove that. I think that's a little bit hearsay too. So I would be in favor of reducing the amount to a number of $10.
Next member.
The next speaker is Liz Carucci, representing.
Hi, I'm Liz Kalinchi. I'm the Associate Dean of Students for FIDES in the Dean of Students Office. And Dean Hubble shared the idea with me that rent could be cut for the cinema in order to help them balance their budget if their funding was cut. And I just really came to confirm the economic reality of the Village Street Hall and to let you know that the rent that the various revenue earning groups pay to us covers very, very important things. It covers custodians, utilities, everything that it takes to run an old building like this. About 60% of our funding is from the university, and the other 40% comes from our enterprise activities. And we expect that there's dining, there's front desk, there's cinema, and several others today, and several others in the building. We would not be in a position at this time to forgive rent for cinema. We couldn't consider doing that because of the break-even budget that we work on. I'm not saying that's not something we would consider, but it's nothing that we can consider at this moment. It would be a very long process, a negotiation process between cinema, between giving students, between the university. So I just did want you to understand that at this time, it's not something that we can consider easily. It's something that would take a very, very long time to negotiate. So it's probably not something that could happen in at least the next fiscal year, the 08-09 fiscal year.
Who wants to take a minute to respond to anything that was said at this point?
Let's see. One thing I just want to explain. I mentioned you can also do calculations about what GMA ratio is quite this much and multiply by these numbers. It's just not as simple as that. One thing that you may not be aware of is that money we take into the box office, a percentage of that goes back to the distributor. The terms of what we pay in rental are based on a minimum guarantee versus a percentage of the gross of what we're taking in the box office for any given film. So if we're taking in, for instance, an additional dollar at the box office, we have to send 35-50% of that back to the distributor. So to sort of say, magically, we're going to raise the price and all of a sudden we have that extra income to deal with, it doesn't work that way. And it's actually much more complicated. You sort of can't think of it in those simple terms. So that's one thing. And I guess the other thing I wanted to point out is that right now the undergraduate activities fee is covering, I believe it's less than 25% of our operating costs. That means we're coming up with money for 75% of our operating costs from other sources. I don't know what the breakdown is for other groups that you fund and whether you're giving those groups less than 25% of their budget. My guess is you might be giving them more than 25% of their budget. And so to actually, you know, apply this more stringent standard to Cornell Center really isn't fair. And generally speaking, just the activities that you can make something out there and accessible, like some of you mentioned, but that's what the activities fee is about. And I think it's just important to think in those terms and not think in these terms as far as the actual, the ticket price and the ways in which simplifying the whole situation.
Okay, just at this point, I want to go over the funding totals that were recommended by members of the ESA. We have, in descending order, $11, $10.50, $9, $8, and $4. Okay? At this point in the meeting, does anybody else have any recommendations regarding alternative funding totals that they'd like to have considered for a vote? Lynn?
Greg, I would recommend $10.
We were talking about that. We already disproved the $10, which is ASCOM's decision, so it seems kind of redundant to go back and consider the $10 again. So again, 11, 10, 50, 9, 8, and 4. At this point in the meeting, what I was going to do was I was going to have Vice President Gay make some closing statements and have the group make some closing statements as well. Are there any community members that wish to speak on, are there any SA members at this point that wish to speak on the subject before we move into these closing statements regarding any particular funding total? Kunsky. These are going to be 2 minutes.
I seek an answer from maybe from the e-board or someone. This entire discussion has been uncomfortable to the extent that when other groups come before us, there's no argument so compelling as if you don't fund us, this might completely damage the entire infrastructure of Willard Strait Hall. Like, I don't know, it's almost really, unless I'm misunderstanding, like, the argument is almost so compelling, it's almost intimidating. It's just, I mean, I feel like I feel uncomfortable that the implication seems to be that if we don't spend our student activity fee funding this group to some certain level, it's going to damage the entire university as a whole, including our own student union.
Okay. I'm going to jump in for a second. Just as any assembly member is advised to take any particular statements under consideration or not acknowledge particular statements that they don't necessarily feel comfortable with in any other situation, I would advise you to do the same now. If you feel particularly uncomfortable with something that was said, then don't let that be a factor of consideration in your final decision. If your concern is that other assembly members are going to be swayed by that particular argument, any community member or any representative on behalf of the group is free to speak before the assembly, and they've never been prohibited from doing so. I believe that Ms. Colucci, is that your last name? Ms. Colucci was just speaking that, you know, with the loss of revenue totals, her office in Willard Strait would have to make up that revenue from somewhere else. I think that was the point she was trying to make. Is that an accurate assessment?
Thank you.
Okay, so it sounds as if it was a matter, we discussed before the ripple effect, we discussed that, you know, these actions do have consequences just beyond the particular group in question. I'm just trying to get a sense of the big picture, I think, is what that statement was about. At this point, what we're going to do regarding the funding totals that are on the table is that we're going to move down. So, yeah. Once.
Can I try to address Director Kennedy's question?
Do you feel like it's been unaddressed?
I think it's... Well, I mean, I'm interested in your point. What are you...
Sure. I mean, I think...
I'd like to move on to a vote at this point. The meeting is moving on. Almost approaching 7 o'clock now. Provided that Representative Coombs is in fact comfortable with the answer he's received so far, I'd just like to move on to...
Well, and the only thing I can know is just the idea that even after that statement was made, I guess I'm not being comfortable. I don't know if there's anything to be said that could make me comfortable, because I feel like we're being compelled to spend the student equity fee because it will have greater effects on the university. It's not just about this group anymore. I feel like it's become this larger issue that I think comes an unfair burden on the assembly. But I don't think there's anything that really could make me any more particularly comfortable about the situation.
So, in your opinion, is it going to be worth having Lance Follavy make a statement? So I can move on to a vote at this point. I'm going to move on to the vote. The way this is going to work is that we're going to take ascending, we're going to consider each total in an ascending order, beginning with $11 and moving on to $10.50 and so on and so forth. Yes.
It's precedent to consider it from the bottom up because we're spending students' money, so out of fiscal responsibility. I think it's a suggestion to the chair.
Is it a suggestion or is it a point of parliamentary procedure?
Well, it's both, I guess. Whatever.
How so?
I think it is a parliamentary procedure to consider from the bottom up. When you're considering the student's money out of fiscal responsibility, I think we should consider it from the bottom.
I believe it's a discretion of the chair.
Do you think I'm wrong on that? Wouldn't it be more fiscally responsible?
Sorry, I can address that. By parliamentary procedure standard, it is precedent to take the suggestions as they come. So, general rules first, that's the one we'll vote on first.
The order in which they were presented was as follows. The first was $11. The second was $8. The third was $9. The fourth was $10.50. And the fifth was $4. Okay? So, depending on the parliamentarian decision, that's the order in which they'll be considered. At this point, the way this is going to work, by voting in the affirmative for $11, you're voting that you wish to fund Cornell Cinema at the rate of $11 per student. By voting against, you're saying that you do not wish to fund Cornell Cinema at the rate of $11. All in favor of voting for Cornell Cinema
roll call.
At the
roll call.
No, you don't have to.
That's roll call.
No. I think it is. Motion for roll call vote.
All right, we'll just do a roll call just to be safe. So, clerk, please call the roll.
Can you clarify what we're voting on?
If you're voting in the affirmative, you're voting to fund Cornell Cinema at $11. If you're voting in the negative, you're voting not to fund Cornell Cinema at $11. This is a vote for $11.
For $11.
Right. What do you think?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes.
No.
No.
No. Hold on. No.
Yes.
12-7. I don't remember.
That's what I have. No, I have 11 yes, 7 no.
11 yes.
I have 11 yes,
11 yes,
11 yeses, 7 no's, and 1 abstention. Okay, so by a vote of 11 yeses to 7 no's to 1 abstention, Cornell Cinema will remain funded at $11. We thank you all for your patience. We thank members of the committee for coming out to participate in the process. And you will be hearing from Vice President Gay sometime soon as well. Okay, next item on the order of business is a CIT presentation by Representative Matthews. Any further questions, just direct them to you via email?
Yeah,
fine. Great. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to unfinished business. The first item on unfinished business is Resolution 2.
Resolution to move Resolution 4 to business of the day.
There's been a motion to move Resolution 4 to business of the day. The resolution regarding transfer of student assembly bus service to class councils. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no
motion to move Resolution 2.
Stand by. You still have to, I'm sorry, point parliamentary answer here. You still have to vote on the resolution for it. No, it's not moved to this today. You don't have to vote to move the resolution. Okay, so Resolution 4 is now the first item on business of the day. There's been a motion to
resolution two.
Move Resolution 2 to business of
actually,
the day.
We don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Resolution 2 move forward for us.
I include them.
Motion's been withdrawn. So we'll now be considering Resolution 4, Resolution regarding transfer of student assembly bus service to class councils. Representative Hartman, you have, in the interest of time, 3 minutes.
Okay. Just going to make a question. As I got sent over email and I reiterated over the past couple of weeks, I want this program to continue onwards, and as student assembly is adopted by all the lines on the floor. And when I asked you that 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, if there was anyone that was willing to take on this program, I did not need to jump on board. And I already have the class councils already ready to begin the program as soon as possible.
Okay, first on the speaker's list is Vice President Slickman.
Vince, can you list some of the other events that class councils has done in the last 3 weeks?
Okay.
Off the top of your head.
Top of my head, class of 2008.
called the Sausage Fest on the Engineering Quad, where we got an attendance of 6,700 people. Class of 2009 held granola lunch mix. Exactly sure that was my class. In 2009, it helped us home. It's in the process of planning Food Olympics. There's been like two or three that helped.
So Food Olympics, Sausage Fest, it just sounds like the mission of Class Council is to provide events for students to, you know, encourage non-alcohol, non-drug-related activity. I'm speaking.
I know, we can have alcohol.
What?
We can have alcohol.
Okay, all right. I strike that for a minute. Nevertheless, the bus program does not fit into the mission statement of Class Council. It sounds like, to me, that you started the bus program here on Student Assembly last year. We are very grateful for that. We're very appreciative of the efforts that you did last year.
1 minute.
But it sounds like that you went to Class Councils and you said, well, we need a groundbreaking activity here. Let's bring the bus program, which I've started somewhere else, and bring it to some other place. This is like Class Councils taking on the gender neutrality issue, or the Student Assembly saying, hey, oversee SAFC. This, go ahead, do it. Or, Class Councils, write us a column in the Sun on our behalf. It just doesn't make sense. And the Student Assembly, this is under our purview. We appeal to all 13,500 students. You, Class Councils, appeals to segmented groups, all 13,500, but there are four different groups that appeal to all of them. So I think this is within our purview, and I do not want to see this go to Class Councils.
Representative Coons. Gotcha.
For those of you who weren't here last year, I think Vice President Flippin touched on it. This is an initiative entirely spearheaded by Vince. He formed an ad hoc transportation committee that was basically devoted solely to this issue. And Vince is the father of this program. He basically did it unaided last year. There was actually a lot of skepticism on last year's board whether this program would be financially effective, it would be a potential PR nightmare if we weren't able to somehow get the tickets. Something happened, there was a lot of debate. Then persevered through it all, it became a huge success. I think that last year as EDPA, people come up to me, they really didn't talk much about the assembly members in the negative. They came up with a little thank me and told me to thank Vince for this program. It was incredibly well received. People loved it. And I think it will continue to be very successful. That said, I think that the program itself is so beneficial to students, and they do like it so much that I think it's important to look at the continued success thereof. I think the Class Councils will ultimately be more successful than would here. Despite the fact that this is a starting off point, I think that Class Councils will be able to manage it more effectively because it simply changes so greatly from year to year. When I came to the dining committee, for instance, it was completely in disarray. I've since managed to, with the help of dining committee members and the dining administration, turn it into something. But it's impossible to be able to continue to see that success. I would urge the assembly for the sake of this program and our image, to go ahead and put it over to Class Council. I think they do a much better job with it.
I just have a quick question, Vince. Personally, do you feel that by removing this program from the Student Assembly, that in any way you're going to be harming the Student Assembly?
No. I personally don't.
You can elaborate on that a little bit. Why not?
I was trying to reiterate last week, 2 weeks ago, that the Student Assembly, 2 years ago, Nicola and Deep Lake were huge components of Slow Fit, and they came to the Student Assembly, of course, to try to make that bigger. And Slow Fit is not a part of the Student Assembly. We find the fourth organization, and I think if we try to micromanage our own organization, our own initiatives, then we're doing harm to the initiatives. So, not at all, like that. It won't hurt the Student Assembly. We'll still, we take credit for everything that we're not doing.
Representative Wang.
I definitely agree with Mark, Representative Combs here. He said it right. This program, although it's being transferred to the
class, possibly even enter the class campus. I see continued benefit and possibly even more benefit because the fact that the class council actually has email access to the entire student body, undergraduate body, unlike the student assembly, which does not reach the entire student body. And I feel like by having that means of communication, by having financial resources, having the background, we'd be able to have an even greater and beneficial program that would definitely be something that students would greatly appreciate. And I hope that my fellow assembly members, that you vote yes and you definitely get this chance to class. Thank you.
Representative Osman.
I just have a question, Vince. Would it be problematic if like the class council ran this, you put like our logo on the flyers or something? Like the next, or what I would put on the flyers is what it inspired from all the years. Funded in part by the student assembly. Okay. That's me. So we're gonna have to use money to reserve funds. So are there gonna be on that? Yeah. Or funded by the student assembly. Every group on campus that you find.
I'm going to call a question if there's a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Vice President Gay, take 20 seconds to explain your dissent.
There's a number of points which have been made by the last few speakers that need to be addressed.
Okay, we're going to be voting to vote. All in favor of moving the previous question, which means voting on the. We're voting to vote. If we vote yes, I know. If we're voting yes, it means that we're going to move to a vote and vote. Now we're going to continue. All in favor of moving the previous question, please raise your hand. All opposed? Okay. Motion fails. Vice President Gay.
First of all, a couple of complaints, and I'm very worried of moving this program. First of all, Vince, how do you propose to fund this program by class council when you haven't applied, you haven't submitted a budget, student activity fee, as AFC funding? My biggest concern is that the student assembly specifically, our mission is to do perform programs like this. Class Council serves with a very limited budget, very limited programming, limited to class unity events such as granola lunch, food Olympics, and they have a very small budget with a very small scope. There's no experience there, and it just seems absurd that you would take this program which you foster under the auspices of the Student Assembly, which has developed its name to, and then just try to take it away. I mean, I realize it's your program, but why couldn't it just be maintained under the Student Assembly where it really belongs? And secondarily, I'm not sure if there's the expertise by the class councils going into the future to really maintain this, because in the past, before you've been present, I mean, this seems like a very limited and very short-sighted thing to say, this year, let's move it to class councils. It seems a very bad precedent for these programs, which are well-handed, which has a full office of staff, which has a large budget, which is used to dealing with large issues, large number of students, to go ahead and, this is better equipped to stay here. And, I mean, just having seen class councils over my last, 4 years now at Cornell, their actions are much, much different. And it set a very bad precedent. There's another other concerns I can't bring up right now, but I would strongly urge members not to vote for this.
Representative Sarah.
Class Conference has the resources because
We do over 60 wine tours overseas, all requiring buses. We know every single bus company in the New York City area is utilizing all for senior week. And we also, like, I don't know if you guys were saying that class council position is only the small event. You guys are not scoping all class. We also incorporate convocations. We have senior week. We have things nights that are about to start up. We have lots of programs that we utilize, and we have a lot of people that work on these programs, and that we have the staff.
I want to give Vince an opportunity to, that's over speaker's time, I just want to give him an opportunity to explain the points you're requiring. But I'm just going to move on to conspired by about a minute or two. And do any other speakers wish to speak on the first speaker's list before we move to the second speaker's list? Seeing no speakers, Vice President Splickman.
Vince, you graduate in May. What's going to happen to this program once you graduate?
Right now, we're writing the constitution that the senior class council will have a chair position. That will be the transportation chair. So every year, the senior class council, like senior week, like things tonight, like our convocation chair, will have a chair position. That will be their main job. And they'll utilize it. So it's not going to, we're putting a senior council.
So you're adding the bus program to your constitution right now?
Yeah.
So you're preempting the student assembly by getting their approval and changing your constitution?
We would do it.
You just said you're doing it.
No, we're not.
You preempted it. Okay. Second point. What does it say about your vote of confidence for the student assembly that you are willing to take a program away from us and bring it back to class councils? What does that say about us? Are we incapable of sponsoring such a program that we can't do this? I mean, I just find it very hard to believe that, you know, we have four brand new representatives that would be more than willing, I'm sure, to get their hands dirty and start doing stuff. I'm not volunteering you guys yet, but I just think, I mean, we haven't talked to them about it. There are a lot more opportunities, and I think that this program deserves to stay. I move to call the question.
There's been a motion to call questions. There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Take 20 seconds and explain it.
I just want to respond to some of the accusations we've had in this case.
Okay. At this point, we're going to be voting to move the previous question. If you vote in the affirmative, you wish to vote on the resolution. If you vote in the negative, you wish to continue the debate. All in favor of moving the previous question, please raise your hand. All opposed. Okay. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Smith.
Okay. How it would work with each individual class, like 7-Eleven, would they each be in charge of it, or would it be like in charge, like would one of the classes be in charge of the whole thing, or how would that work?
This would be a class council joint effort. When I came here last 2 weeks, I said that every class council is behind this, and I've already met with all the presidents, and we've come to an agreement that this is a program that would be okay with class councils having, and we also do a lot of class council events that we
Representative Salem.
That's me.
Yeah.
I just want to say, like, to respond to a couple of things that CJ brought. I mean, I honestly agree with Chris. I don't see this as disrespect to that assembly. We're a legislative body. I mean, and that's part of the reason, you know, some of our committees haven't met in like what 40 years or whenever we were started. You know, like, we are a legislative body. We're not a body that was created to put on programs. Well, class council is. And I don't, I mean, as long as our name is going to be out there, I mean, I don't think it's a vote of confidence of the assembly, and I don't think we should look at it that way. Just look at it. It's being passed on to people who put on programs all year long, put on wine tours, they know how to do it. That's the way to look at it, and that's the way to go, and I call the question.
Second. I'm just going to call questions. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Take 20 seconds and explain your dissent.
I would agree with this point that I made earlier about continuity.
Well, you're next on the speaker's list. So
I'll withdraw.
Motion is withdrawn. Representative Coombs.
Yeah, just a very quick point. I'm going to be repetitive. But for new people and what have you, just the idea of continuity, like I said, I can't emphasize enough the idea that if the students and the students started the transportation committee and that they were charged with the task of continuing the bus program, because the student assembly shifts so often as far as its representative, and historically speaking, I don't think anybody would object to me saying this, class councils has historically been very continual. The same people are involved in class councils from year to year. You would have different people maybe come up from current freshman class. They would get more convinced. They would probably be involved in class councils the next year.
Mark, just as a point of information, you asked Vince how long he's been president, just in terms of continuity of the class.
Vince, how long have you been involved in class council?
I've been involved in class since sophomore year. I didn't hold a position until my junior year, and I became president for the senior class this year.
Would you object to my statements about the are most of the people who've been involved in class council been involved in it for a while?
Our retention rate is really high. We only lost one member graduated early from our class last year, and we lost one member.
Right. Right, and because like our president same on that, it's not, since class council is not a legislative body, their job is putting on events and putting on programs for our class. I think this falls right into that niche. It would be a lot more continuous. Like I said, when I came to the dining committee, today, they were very active. We can get nutritional facts in, we're talking to nutritionists, whatever. When I came in before, that means nothing. Which is, somebody just urges them to consider that.
Representative Wang.
So I'd like to just mention a few things. The student assembly, it's not our goal to make programs, but the fact that Vince spearheads it and it's become so successful, I think the fact that we're moving on and giving it to another organization is another positive success. Because by having it off our hands, but still continuing it with class councils, we can have more time to emphasize on doing great things for Cornell students here and having other things and possibly spearheading more newer things that will benefit Cornell students. So I definitely hope that you will definitely support this, and I call this question.
I'm going to call a question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we're going to move to a vote. At this point, Representative Hartman is the sponsor of the resolution. If you want to take 1 minute and make any closing statements, now is the time.
I just want to reiterate what Tim said about continuity, and that's one of the main kind of bringing this resolution forward. I want the bus program to continue. It's been the best program student assembly's done, but after I leave here as a senior, I am concerned that time to continue. I've not had any coming over to jump forward. I'm willing to put on that entire burden of doing this program, and class council has the framework and the resources and the people.
On that, we're going to vote. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes. Yes.
No.
I have a proxy.
Yes.
I have a proxy yes from Ronnie. What do you have? probably 11 to 3 to 2. And two abstentions. Either way, the motion passes, or the resolution passes.
A motion to table resolution 3.
It's been a motion to table resolution 3 until next week. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, resolution 3 is tabled. Moving on to...
There's a motion to adjourn.
I'm not accepting that motion right now. We have one more resolution we can get to today. Resolution 6, resolution regarding President Treasurer's Test by myself, Representative Lessig, and Vice President.
Unplug this?
Never mind. In the interest of time, take 5 minutes. I'd like to remind everyone that this is a charter change, so we will only be asking questions. The speaker's list being formed. Representative Salem.
Yeah, I have a question. Actually, it's probably directed to President Greenberg. Do you think that the charter of the student assembly is something every student assembly member should know before they take their oath of office? Okay. Do you think that having a charter test is appropriate? If you don't mind answering these questions, it's going to be relevant to debate next week, but I can't debate it, so I want to have some answers from you. Do you think that having a charter test is appropriate?
I think that a charter test is a President Treasurer's test where the President Treasurer's test is open.
Uh-huh.
But
the idea, I'm just talking philosophically speaking, having the...
I'm taking a philosophical point and applying to practice that.
So an open book test is okay, a closed book test isn't. Okay. And then, I guess my other question is, I want to know as to how you derive this sort of repercussion. Like, what is the philosophical base upon which you give a member one unexcused absence for not taking, for not taking a president treasurer's hand.
I find that philosophical discussion trying to have a national meeting framework, and I think that an unexcused absence is not all too dissimilar from an unexcused action. An unexcused action is not taking a president treasurer's hand.
According to what?
According to what?
Yeah, like where are we getting it?
Would you agree that an unexcused absence is unacceptable?
This debate is for questions of the speakers, not of assembly members. The speaker's time has expired. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Wang.
Thank you, YouTube, for putting this resolution, and I definitely see the merit for this resolution. The fact that you're trying to make sure that student assembly members definitely understand what's going on and making sure that they're not going to just like make random decisions or decisions based on their opinions, but not based on something as important as the SAFC President Treasurer test. And however, I feel that it's unnecessary to have this test because I feel that
the extent of questioning here is for questions only.
Okay,
so my field statements are not acceptable.
So why do you feel that that we should wait that time when it's really our responsibility to go through the SAFC charter?
According to the open positions regarding funding 357 organizations,
examples at the FASB notes that they're governing by student assembly. When they vote to change the decision that the FASB made, they do a public talk. That's pretty important. And any indication of us, that's fine. So this is also a good opportunity for the FASB to see that the FASB is still behind them. The FA members are fully aware of what is required of the FASB commissioner and is supporting law in the state handbook. Very often, the FA representatives make their decisions based upon gut feeling, which sometimes is okay, but there wasn't any substantial fact behind that either. And this is going to require that there is some sort of fact behind the decision.
There are no other individuals. Representative Hartman?
What would you say to a person that the tenets of democracy rest upon the individual doing this initiative on himself and elected, the student body will unelect an individual if they don't do this?
Who's the person?
Two, anyone that does this, I do this right now. Like, should be.
Well, there's no member of my responsibility. There's a community member of my responsibility.
There are no other speakers that wish to speak on the first speaker's list. Anyone else? Second speaker's list, Representative Salem.
Motion to table this resolution.
There has been a motion to table this resolution. Do you want to give a date or next week? We can end debate.
If I could give a date, maybe next year. But no.
There has been a motion to table Resolution 6 until next week. Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any dissenters? There are none. There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? It is adjourned.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah.
Let's keep up. We need our books on Saturday.
It's a good place to hold sports stuff. All right, here's them.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.